Morning. Today's daf is daf Pei Aleph in Shabbos. We're in the back end of Pei Amud Beis. We have a little bit more to cover until we finish yesterday's daf. We're right halfway down the Amud. Yesterday we talked about carrying Sid, limestone. So the Mishnah says that if you carry limestone on Shabbos, you're going to be chayav. But again, as we've been discussing now for the course of the entire parak, how much limestone are you going to carry in order to be chayav? So the Mishnah gave us no less than three opinions in terms of how much limestone to carry. The lime was used as a exfoliator and a hair removal.
Depilatory.
Right, depilatory. Okay. So the yeshiva boys back in the good old days, that's what they used to use, right? Okay. The right. 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 So okay. So we have now basically three opinions in the Mishnah. Yesterday the Gemara ended off with a very interesting story regarding Rav Bibi and his daughters. I told you yesterday's Gemara, if there's a source, which there isn't, but if there's a source for the minhag of women not drinking Havdalah, so yesterday's Gemara could be used as a source, but I only say that really tongue-in-cheek. I don't really know it's talking about beer, it's not talking about wine. Yeah, it's not. I mentioned it's not a source. Anyway, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Kedei Lasud Kilkol. Okay, so the amount of lime to apply to the kilkol. Now, kilkol is a term that the Gemara is not really that familiar with. My kilkol, my andipi. In fact, not only is that term not the Gemara familiar with, really both terms that the Mishnah uses, the Gemara really doesn't know what it is. In other words, we're applying the lime to the head. We're applying it to the kilkol. We're applying it to the andipi. And the Gemara basically says, what are these things? So to which the Gemara answers, Amarav Tzida, Ubas Tzida. So Tzida, we're talking about the temple area. Okay, hair around the temple area, which needs to be removed. And the Bas Tzida in the area right below that. Lamamar Deshir Derav Yehuda Nafish, Ba'akamlan Deshir Derabana Nafish. And the Gemara is bothered because we have a general assumption that this is not the first time the Gemara has made this assumption. The Gemara says so yesterday. And the Gemara is going to repeat it one more time, I believe. And that is that the Chachamim Shir is greater than Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, in terms of Shiurim, of Hotza'ah, is Machmer. And so therefore, it can't be that Rabbi Yehuda has a Shir that's greater than that of the Chachamim. So the Gemara says, Zuta midrabban menafish midrab Nechemya. So the Gemara says, yeah, it's smaller than the Chachamim, but it's greater than Rabbi Nechemya. So it is a middle Shir. So in other words, we have basically now, let's just review, we have three shiurim in the Mishnah. So one shiur, again, how much lime to carry on Shabbos in order to be chayv? So the shiur, the chachamim, is the amount to apply to one finger, the finger of a young girl. Okay, that is the shiur of the chachamim, which is a lot. Then we have the shiur of Rabbi Yehuda, enough to apply to the temple area. And then we have the shiur of Reb Nechemya, and Reb Nechemya says the area to apply underneath, the andipi area, underneath the temple. Okay, so which is even smaller. Okay, so from greater to smaller, those are the three shiurim mentioned in our Mishnah. Meisvei the Gemara challenges based on a brisa Amar Rebbe, near and divrei Rebbe Yehuda bechavod v'divrei Rebbe Nechemya bebeitzas. Okay, so Rebbe comes to a compromise position. We find this often throughout Shas, where Rebbe takes some sort of a middle ground. So it says when it's chavut, when it's one type of lime, so then I think Rebbe Yehuda is correct. We're talking about the temple area. But if it's beitzas, if it's a lime which is mud-like, okay, not really sure what I'm describing over here. But okay, it's right. It's so then the shear is going to be the under temple area. So hasid vi, I'm sorry, bebeitzas hasid. Visagadach hatzida ubatzida aidi vaidi chavon. Now the Gemara says, now if we're talking about placing lime temple area and under the temple area, it's the same consistency of lime. There shouldn't be different consistencies. Alam Rabbi Yitzchak Amri Debe Rabbi Ami Andipa. So we're going to give now a different interpretation, and that is Andipa. Now, what is Andipa? So if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi attempts to describe it to us. I read the Rashi. Rashi says, "Andipa kli cheres velo shnei dadin, achas lamala v'achas lamata." So it's some sort of earthenware utensil. It has two spouts to it, one above, one below. Uchesherot lamala so sosim esadat tachton. And when you want to fill it, so what you have to do, obviously, you have to cork up, seal up the lower spout, so that you can fill it up from the top. Veloshen on dipi shtei pios. Oh, okay, good. And the word on dipi means two mouths. Okay, detanya malim b'diyufi. In other words, the word dio means two. Right, we see that time and again, like the word duo. Anyway, so that is what we're describing. So the Gemara says, and now what he's suggesting, what's going to happen is that you're going to pour wine into this vessel, into this utensil, and the wine is going to dissolve the lower opening, and you're going to lose your wine. And it doesn't sound that prudent. In other words, it doesn't sound like this is the correct pshat. Elam Rav Kahana, Shintos. So the Gemara gives now a different interpretation. What we mean when we say on Dipi, we're talking about the measuring marks. Okay, anyone have a measuring cup so you know how it works? You have basically markers that tell you what we're up to. In the good old days, not much has changed in the past 2,000 years. They also had kelim with measuring marks. Now the measuring marks back then were actually indentations or little markers that are inserted on the inside, so you now know basically what to fill it up to. Kedanan, in fact, we learned this in the Mishnah Menachos. Shenatod hayu bahen ad kan lepar, ad kan la'ayl, ad kan lekeves. We know that together with every carbon there were nesachim, and the amount of nesachim that's placed in is based on the size of the animal. Right, par gets chatzi ahin, and ayil gets a third of a hin, and kevis gets a quarter of a hin. And so, how do I know how much to put in? So, basically, there are markers inside the kli. The baisema. So that's one pshat. So, in other words, we are now pretty much settled on one pshat in our Mishnah. When the Mishnah talks about andipi, it's talking about the small little markers that are placed inside of a kli. E baisema my andipi aputa. The Gemara says another possibility is that the word andipi is a reference to the forehead. V'chihadahu bar galil de'ikla l'bavel. The Gemara describes a person from the Galil who went to Bavel. Da'amru le'i kum drush lanu b'maise merkava. And they ask him, could you please get up there and speak about maise merkava? Now you remember in Mishnah in Chagiga, the Mishnah in Chagiga says that's a no-no. You're not allowed to get up there and discuss maise merkava. First of all, what is Maaser Merkava? So it's part of the Chazon Yecheskel, part of the vision of Yecheskel, that he saw Maaser Merkava. Now these are talking about the Sodos HaTorah, the real secrets of the Torah, which the Mishnah in Chagiga says, you want to teach it, it's got to be a very, very small class. Teacher-student ratio is either 1 to 2, 1 to 3, or 1 to 1, even smaller. So and so he's getting up there in a public lecture and he's talking to everyone about Maaser Merkava in the public. So what he did was, and now he was asked to do it, but obviously what he should have said is no thank you. Amalu Edrosh Luchuki Didarish Rab Nechem Lachavre Vinafka Arita. Now because he's about to get up there and discuss Maaser Merkava in public, so along comes the bee, Minkosel, Umachte Ba'andipi, and stung him right in the andipi, which now we're describing is some area around the forehead. Umeis, and the person dies. V'amalei min delei dalei. In other words, he died on account of this, meaning it was his own fault. I mean, mida kenegin mida. He shouldn't have darshan and maaser merkava in public, and he did so, and therefore he got stung. And the point of the story in our Gemara is just simply to describe that the andipi is the forehead. Right, we have a story, and in the story we use the word andipi, and that's why the story comes up right over here. Adkan. Okay, so again, all this comes back to how much lime to carry on Shabbos in order to be chayev. Three opinions, and we spent the last 5 minutes of Gemara trying to understand what that third opinion was. What's andipi? Adama. How much earth do you need to carry on Shabbos to be chayev? And there's a shear for earth. So, two opinions regarding earth. The first opinion is a seal for the Merutzafim. When you would transport merchandise, you would put in bags and you would seal off the bags. The sealing of the bags was done with dirt basically bonded into some sort of seal. So Rabbi Akiva says that's the amount of earth. And the Chachamim say no, the seal of a letter. Right, in the good old days, so when you want to seal a letter, make sure that the only person that would read it would be the recipient of the letter. So you would melt some sort of wax, but we're not talking about wax right now, we're talking about earth. You would make some sort of earth blend and put it on the seal of the letter, and then you would seal it with your ring. In other words, you would take your signet ring and you would push it down, seal it, and that way we know that the letter was not tampered with. No one else read the letter. So it's now that comes out now that the Chachamim Shir is less than Rabbi Akiva. Right. Correct. Zeva v'choladak de lezabel. Now, in terms of fertilizer, how much fertilizer or coarse sand does a person need to carry in order to be chayv on Shabbos? So, again, once again, two opinions. Rabbi Akiva says enough fertilizer to fertilize cabbage, kruv, and v'chachamim amri k'dei lezabel krisha, one leek. Again, the shear of the chachamim comes out to be smaller. Chol hagas, sorry. What we were describing before, fine. I said coarse sand. No, I was wrong. It was fine sand. Now the Mishnah talks about coarse sand. How much coarse sand to carry? Kedilitin al malay kaf sid. To put on the trowel. Okay, when they would do construction, so they would have a trowel that they would be working with. So the amount of coarse sand to put on the trowel. Kana, how about reeds? Now reeds back then were used primarily for making a quill. Kana kedilasos kumos. Now, if this particular reed was either thick or cracked, meaning not good for quill making, so then what do you do with a reed? It makes excellent fuel for the fire. So enough to make one egg over easy. Okay, we'll talk more about the egg in just a moment. The reason why the Gemara here talks about an egg is because the egg is easily fried in a pan. You don't need a lot of fuel of it. And so therefore, it's just simply the roasting of one egg. The Gemara here just elaborates a little bit more. To put on the trowel for the people who are plastering. So Mantana de Chomalele said, now, comes out from our Mishnah, a little bit of general contractor knowledge. And that is that when you're making your plaster, so a great additive for the plaster is going to be coarse sand. Okay? So anyone who's involved in contracting, so now you know. Coarse sand for the plaster. So I'm Rav Chista Rav Yehudi. The Gemara points out that this is a position which is espoused by Rav Yehudi. D'tanya lo yasod adam es beso besid. So Rav Yehuda says that if you want to make good plaster for your house, in order to fortify and solidify your house, make sure that you're going to use sid, but mixed together with chol, with sand. So that is Rav Chista identifying the Tana of our Mishnah as Rav Yehuda. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Tevin Mutter Chol Aser Mimneshu Tarchsid. So Rav Yehuda says that Tevin would be Mutter, but Chol would be Aser because it's Tarchsid. It really strengthens it. Okay, so anyway, but what comes out now is that we have a Brisa. The Brisa says that that coarse sand, according to Rav Yehuda, strengthens the plaster. Rav Amar Filatem Rabbanan. And Rava said, no, you can even say that our mission is going like the Chachamim, Kikulo Zed Tikuno. Now, because by adding coarse sand, so yes, it'll be bad for the plaster, but it'll be good for the house. Meaning that, you're right, to make plaster, adding coarse sand is not good, but for the house in general, it strengthens the house. Rashi, what I just said is Rashi, but Rashi offers another pshat. Take a look at Rashi inside, on your own, I should say, but Rashi really struggles in terms of what exactly the Gemara means over here when it says, Kikulu Zeu Tikuno. Kanaka de Lasos Kumos, we're now up to the reed, and how much reed do I carry in Shabbos? And to be chayav, not enough to make one quill. Tana Kumos, Amagiel, Kishri, Atzvosav. Now, how long a pen are we talking about? So basically a pen that you hold in your hand, right? I don't have a pen on me right now. But in other words, our pens are really long, meaning they go out, you hold them in your fingers, they go well past the knuckles. So we're talking about the smallest pen is that one that goes up to the knuckles. By Rav Ashi, Keshal Yon, Keshal Tachton. But okay, good. We say knuckles, but knuckles really can mean a couple of things. Meaning we could be talking about these joints over here where the fingers bend. We could be talking over here as it's connected to the hand. How far up the hand does the pen need to go? Teku, the Gemara says, I do not know. Imhaya Ava. Now, we said that if the particular reed in question is not good for making a pen, either because it's too thick or there are too many cracks in it, So then the only usage of this reed is going to be fuel for the fire. How much fuel are we talking about? Enough to make one egg over easy. Tana trufa b'shemen unasuna be'ilfis. The Gemara over here is specific in terms of how to prepare this egg with oil in a pot. Now, in our Mishnah, it said an egg, it said beitzakala, a light egg. So, any better description of what that could possibly mean? So, this is a question of Marbrei de Ravina. So, Amarlei, biasa ditziltzala. So, yeah, the egg of a tziltzala, type of bird. You want to call it a hummingbird? By all means, be my guest. Anyway, the point is, it's a really small bird that produces a really small egg. So, my time, maybe Mishum Dezutra, because the Gemara says, because it's small. Ema ditziparta. So, the Gemara says, okay. But why don't we describe it as being the tziparta, an even smaller bird? Maybe that's the hummingbird. Whatever the case is. In other words, once you're trying to identify what type of egg it is coming from a bird, so we really don't know what type of bird it is, the small bird, an even smaller bird. Ishtik, you didn't know how to answer. Amalei, mi dishmiel ach ba'ach. Well, what did you hear? Amalei, ach, yamar sheshes, beitz tanegoles. An egg of a chicken. Okay, what we know and love as our standard egg. Umaikarale beitzakala. Now, why is it described as beitzakala? Shirachachamimalacha beitzakala vasha yosami beitzas tanagolas. It's the one that cooks the quickest. So, umaisha koshiri shabbos kegorgas vahacha kebeitza. So now the Gemara is bothered by an inconsistency. We've said this time and again. When it comes to food on Shabbos, the shear of food is a gorogorus, a dried fig, the volume of a dried fig. And now, meantime, when it comes to the roasting of an egg, the frying of an egg, we're now describing the shear as the size of an egg. So So the Gemara says no inconsistency. We will be consistent. The amount of egg that we need to fry is the amount that will be the size of a grogorus. The type of egg that we're discussing is going to be the egg of a chicken, because that's the one that's the easiest to cook. So in other words, if your reeds are not fit for a quill, how much reed do you have to carry on Shabbos in order to be chayav karban chatas? Answer is, the amount that will fuel and fry an egg, a grogorus of an egg, but specifically the egg of a chicken. Okay. We start now today's daf. Today's daf is Pei Aleph. We are now moving on in the Mishnayos. Etzem kidei lasos tarvad. Okay, how much bone do you need to carry on Shabbos in order to be chayav? Enough bone to make a spoon. Bones back then were made into utensils. Actually, they were also made into instruments as well, musical instruments. But again, we're looking for the smallest amount that would be a significant shear. So they would make spoons out of the bone. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kidei lasos mimenu chaf zechuchis kidei ligra bo rosh. Sorry, kidei lasos mimenu chaf. Enough to make a key. Okay. At this point in time, we now think that we're talking about making the entire key, right? A key made out of bone. The Gemara is going to be bothered with that because it comes out now that Rav Yehuda's shear is larger than that of the Chachamim. I mean, you could really argue, meaning, I don't know how big their keys were back then, but it's assumed that the size of a key was larger than that of a spoon. Anyway.
The actual lock itself.
Okay. Okay, very good.
That could be larger.
Okay, could be larger. Okay, accept it. Zechuchis kedei ligra bo rosh karkar. Now, how much glass do you have to carry on Shabbos in order to be chayev? So enough to for the rosh karkar. We described earlier in the Masechta the process of weaving, and part of the weaving process is to make sure that the strings remain straight. So there was an instrument, a glass instrument that was used in order to keep the strings from not crossing one another. And this is an instrument known as the Rosh HaKarkar. So it was made out of glass. So the amount of glass that was used to make this instrument, that's you'd be chayev. Tzror or Evan. Now in terms of stones or rocks, kidei lizrok ba'of. Enough to throw at a bird. Meaning you have a bird in your field, and he's really bothering and pestering you. So what do? So it's very simple. You take a stone and you throw it. And it has to be a stone large enough where the bird's going to be able to get the message. Get off my lawn. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Amar kidei lizrok b'behema. Now, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, no, it's got to be a bigger stone. One that you throw at an animal. Okay, most of today's daf is going to revolve around the stone. So, but before we get to the stone, first let's cover the first parts of the Mishnah. Once again, now I believe this is the third time the Gemara is going to ask this question. Lamema deshira derav Yehuda nafish, haikamalan deshira derabban nafish. Again, the Gemara has a tradition that in all these shiurim, Rav Yehuda's shiur is always going to be smaller. So now, with that tradition in mind, our Mishnah doesn't make any sense, because when it comes to bone, the Chachamim say a bone to make a spoon, and then along comes Rav Yehuda, says, nah, the bone to make a lock, okay? Which is a larger shear, and that doesn't fit in with what we know. So, Amar Ula, Chape Posaches. So we're not talking about the entire lock itself, but we're talking about the keys to the lock. In other words, the teeth of the lock. So in other words, the bones were used not for the entire edifice of the lock, but just for the keys themselves. And so therefore, it's a smaller shear. Tanu Rabbanan chafe posachas taharin kavan beposachas tamein. Now, the keys to a lock are tahor. So, but if I'm koveya them to the posachas, they're going to be tamein. Okay, when we're talking about the keys to the lock, so Rashi says, when they're not connected, meaning just the keys themselves, meaning I don't even mean the keys, I mean like the teeth of the lock. So as long as they're not connected, Rashi describes in a ru'uyim l'klum. They have no purpose and use, and as we know, rule number one when it comes to a kli is that it has to have utility. If it doesn't have any utility, if it serves no purpose, it's not mekabel tuma. Once I attach the teeth to the lock, so then it's going to be mekabel tuma. Rashi gives us another basic rule regarding tuma tahara, and Rashi reminds us that kli etzem has the same status as kli matachos. Okay, metal does not need a toch. Metal does not need any type of inside, meaning when we make a kli out of wood kli, in order for it to be mekabel tuma, needs a toch. A bowl, a spoon, it has to have some sort of inside. That's not true regarding metal. And Rashi tells us it's also not true regarding bone as well. Bone does not need a toch. Rashi goes on to write, Upshutayim tamein ba'kol shochten. And if you remember the Gemara in Chulin, early in Chulin, so the Gemara in Chulin says that pshutei kli etzem is going to be mekabel tuma. Good. Now, so once I attach the teeth to the lock, so then it's going to be mekabel tuma. Vishal gal alpha pishachibram bedelas vekavam memasmerim tahor shekol mechubal karka hareu kakarka. But if it's a lock connected to a door, which is connected to a house, it's no longer mekabel tuma. Why? Because it's grounded, and as we know, anything grounded, literally connected to the ground, is not mekabel tuma. A house is not mekabel tuma. The door attached to the house is not mekabel tuma. A lock attached to the door, attached to the house, is not going to be mekabel tuma. Zuchuch is kedei ligror bo. Now we're up to the glass. Glass, how much glass to be chayev? So enough to scrape off the weaving. Tana zuchuch is kedei lifzor bo shnei nimim ka'achas. Okay, and it basically covers two strings. Tzvor ro'evim kedei lizrok bo for Abelazar Amar Amar Rav Yaakov Amar Rav Yochanan v'hu shemirageshes ba. Enough where the animal's going to feel it. I mean, obviously, the point seems to be self-evident, but the Gemara goes out of its way to make this clear. Meaning, it has to be a stone that's large enough where I throw it at the animal, and the animal's margish. He feels it, and the animal's going to run away. The kamashiro. Now, how much is the shear of such a rock? Now, what the Gemara is asking, says Rashi, is really twofold. Meaning, basically, we have now in our Mishnah the amount of rock that I would carry on Shabbos to be chayev. Basically, when does the rock have this? When's the rock its smallest and still have any type of functionality? And the answer is, again, two opinions in the Mishnah. Either I throw it at a bird or I throw it at an animal. But still, though, that leaves us wanting. In other words, what is the shear? And Rashi says also there's another component to this question as well. Now, I told you, right, the good old days weren't always that good. And one of the things which we've discussed in the past in the Masechta, but today's daf is really the central location for this discussion, what they would use for personal hygiene after having gone to the bathroom. And what they would use back then were stones. So rounded, smoothed off stones is what they would use for personal hygiene after having gone to the bathroom. Now, stones, although they are muktzah on Shabbos, but because of kavod abrios, a person is allowed to pick up a stone even if that stone was not designated and specified for the purposes of hygiene and still be used for the person after having gone to the bathroom. So, essentially now what the Gemara is now asking is, what is also going to be the shear in terms of a stone for his personal use after having gone to the bathroom? That's also contained in this question, the Kama Shi'uro. Tanya, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Mishkal Asara Zuz. The amount of 10 zuz, the weight of 10 zuz. The Gemara here gives a very accurate, very quantifiable amount. Zonin al lebe medrasha, an amor by the name of Zonin went up to the base medrash, amar lehu rabosai avanim shel beis akisa shirim bekama. And so the discussion now is, how many stones are you allowed to take with you into the base akisa on Shabbos? Amar lo kezayis keegos uchebeitza. So they now tell him, well, you'll take 3 stones with you. One's kezayis, the other is keegos, and the other is kebeitza. And Rashi describes that that the minhag was back then to take 3 stones into the bathroom. And I read Rashi, kezayis, keegos, kebeitza, shalosh machnisim lekinuach, umekaneach zu acher zu. And Rashi says one after the other, achas kezayis, v'achas keegos, v'achas kebeitza, b'tchila mekanech pi ha-ri'i b'ketana, l'hasi ri'i ha-nidbak, sham, sh'agadol ha-pocheses u'malachlech zvivosav. And Rashi over here is very specific in terms of how the minhag was. You start with the smaller stone and then you work your way up from there. Again, the good old days weren't always that good. So the kezayis, keegos, kebeitza, amar lehu. Now, to which the Gemara Zunin did not enjoy that answer, because essentially you're asking a question about what stones I could take with me into the base of Medrash, and they gave him a very specific question, v'chi tortani yachnis, and what do you want me to do now? You want me to take a scale with me into the bathroom and basically weigh out the stones I'm taking with me into the bathroom? Is that what the halacha really demands of me? Nimnu v'gamrim alo hayad. And so they took it to a vote, and what they decided was malo hayad, a handful. Meaning, correct, it doesn't have to be that specific, as we just described. A handful would be sufficient, and Rashi describes over here, when the Gemara says a handful, it no longer has to be 3 stones, meaning anything that your hand would hold while going into the bathroom would be sufficient and allowed in terms of proper hygiene. Tanya Rabbi Yossi Armer Kizai Skagos Kebetzer, Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Yossi Armer Mishum Aviv Maloha Yad. And the Gemara here cites a machlokus between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Yossi. Of course, it's interesting because Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Yossi is quoting his father, who is Rabbi Yossi. And so essentially now we have 2 positions quoting Rabbi Yossi. But you just see this machlokus of whether it has to be specifically 3 stones or just simply a handful. The Braisa here discusses this. You're allowed to take 3 smooth stones in with you to the bathroom. The Kamashirim Rabbi Meir Omer Kegos Rabbi Yehuda Omer Kebeitza. So the shear is according to Rabbi Meir and Egos, according to Rabbi Yehuda Beitza. Amar Afam Bar Papa Amar Rav Chistika Machlokus Kan Kach Machlokus Be'esrog. Now, interestingly enough, the same machlokas that you have over here is the same machlokas you have regarding Estrog. Not to say, let's be clear, not to say that the 2 machlokas are Matalui Zebezeh. It just happens to be that as a memory aid, you now, and I know it's a funny association, but as a memory aid, much like we have in the 3rd parak of Sukkah, what is the minimum shear of an Estrog? So we have 2 opinions, Kebetza or Kezayis, and it happens to be a machlok between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. So too over here, regarding taking stones with you into the bathroom for personal hygiene. So there's also a machlok between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda.
One is a minimum shear. What's the other one?
The other one, yeah, in other words, correct. It's not, they're not connected. The 2 machloks are not connected. It's just a way of remembering. So, Ella machlok is best, or kach machlok, I'm sorry. So Amar of Chizka Machlok Kanka Machlok Vesrak. So the Gemara is bothered by the following. Hasta Masnisa Hacha Braisa. And here's the Gemara's problem. Look, great memory devices. Remember, all this information was committed to memory in the good old days. So, in other words, any memory aid that you can give is great. Here's the problem. The problem is that you'll remember the Mishnah because of a Braisa. No, that's not how it works. Meaning, as Rashi describes, everyone knew the Mishnayos. Meaning, it was expected by any B'nai HaYeshiva who walks into the yeshiva, you know your Mishnayos. So the machlok is regarding esrog and the minimum size of an esrog, whether it's a kezayis or a kebetza. That's a Mishnah and Sukkah. Everyone knows Mishnayos. Here we're talking about stones for personal hygiene. It also happens to be a machlokus, but it's a brisa. Not everyone knows a brisa. So if I'm going to tell you what to be used as a memory aid, the Mishnah, which everybody knows, should be the base of your memory. And then what I'll attach to that is the brisa. So Allah, so the Gemara says, you're right, point well taken. Okay, machlokus besrog, kach machlokus kan. Just like there's a machlokus regarding esrog, which everybody knows, that's how you're going to help you remember our machlokus, Rav Meir Rav Yehuda, regarding stones. I'm Rav Yehuda, avalo es apayas. Okay, and now, as long as we're on the topic of personal hygiene, the Gemara now is going to be very specific and slightly graphic in terms of what not to use for personal hygiene. And the Gemara says, do not use pious. So my pious, I'm Rabbi Zer, kashine bavliasa. Rashi describes this as, these are basically very soft rocks that come out of Bavel. And the problem with these rocks that come out of Bavel, it's not really rocks. It's clumps of earth, clumps of dirt, and they break apart. And it will not be good for kinuch, it will not be good for wiping. And so therefore, because they're not good for wiping, so therefore it's muksa with no heter to move them on Shabbos. Amar Rav Asa l'mashmash b'tzur b'shabbos, kederach shemashmash b'chol. Now the Gemara here talks a little bit about laxatives. Now, laxative in the good old days, I don't really mean laxatives, but basically encouraging a person to go. Okay, they had laxatives back then, but over here, though, we're describing a process in which they used to promote going to the bathroom. And what the Gemara says is that you can't do it on Shabbos the same way you do it during the week. It was a way of manipulating their bowels. So Maskev Lamar Zutra Listakein. So Mar Zutra says, I don't understand. What do you mean? Meaning, if you don't manipulate your bowels, so then it's a sakana. Rashi tells us, remember, we learned this not that long ago, Masechta Tamid. Right? Why did this come up in Masechta Tamid? You remember this? Because I think, if I remember correctly, one of the things that we described in the Masechta Tamid was the great bathroom. Remember the underground caves? When you went down from the base of Mokad, there was an underground path that went into a underground bathroom. So over there, right there, there were the Kiseh Hagadol, right? If I'm not mistaken, is what we used to describe the bathroom over there. Anyway, comes out that over there, the Gemara says that if you don't move your bowels when you need to go, it's a sakana, it's a danger. So the Gemara says, Kala achar yad, point well taken. What we mean over here is that on Shabbos you should do it in a somewhat different manner than you do during the week. Take a look at Rashi. You could see Rashi describes pretty graphically how you do it during the week versus how you do it on Shabbos. Amar Aviana, Imesh Makam Kavula, Besakise Maloa Yadim Lav, Kehechre. Now, if you have a Makam Kavua, meaning you have a fixed bathroom, right? In other words, nowadays we have indoor plumbing. So it's fair to say nowadays we have a makam kavua. And by the way, nowadays we use toilet paper. So, right, these modern, you know. But back in the good old days, however, if you had a makam kavua, so then you could take stones in with you and you could take a full handful of stones with you into the makam kavua. However, if you don't, so then, kehechra. So then you take a moderate amount of stones, right? What does that mean, a moderate amount? Meaning the size of an egos. Remember, now we basically have three choices to choose from. An egos, a kezayis, a kebetza, right? Egos is the middle shear. So take that middle shear with you into the bathroom. Not too little, not too much. Meducha ketana shal besamim. Oh, this discussion over here, It's going to, whatever. It's, you know, it is what it is. Yes, sir.
Okay, so what I'm understanding here is that you're allowed to carry on Shabbat stones because of Kavod Avriyot. Is that
the same? Yeah, in other words, stones, look, the basic point is stones are muktzah. You can't carry stone on Shabbos, but for personal hygiene, so the Chachamim waive the Isser of Muktzah, and you can carry stones in, and essentially what our discussion is how many? How many stones can you carry in to the bathroom? So in other words, if you know this is your, this is the place you go, so then you can take a handful of stones in.
You mean you don't use them all.
Right, and if you don't use them all, next time you go to the bathroom, you'll end up using them. So a handful is fine. Sure. But if it's not the place where you normally go, so the Gemara says then you have to take even further consideration of how many stones you're going in, because this is probably it. You're probably, this is a one-time usage. Huh? Yeah, in other words, the answer is yes, but if you don't, the Chachamim still waive Muktzah because of Kavod Abrias.
Even if you place them there before Shabbos, if it's Muktzah, you couldn't do anything with it.
Right.
But no, because if you place it, it's not Muktzah, you've designated it.
Right, well, you're allowed to designate stones. And once you designate stones, so then it's, you know, so then it's not even Muktzah. Okay, so Meducha Ketana Shabbat Samim. Now, a Meducha Ketana was like a small grinding stone that was used for spices. Now, it doubled as, if necessary, a wiping device for personal hygiene. Now, I know, by the way, of course, I also find it strange that, in other words, it could double as both. Meaning, I think once you use it once for the bathroom, I doubt anyone would then bring it back into the kitchen. I doubt it. But, again, though, you have to understand, we're very modern. And being as modern as we are, meaning, to us, resources are so... in other words, think about how much we throw away on, after a given Shabbos.
But even those rocks that they never really ever used before.
Okay, so...
He says size. He puts in the word size.
Yeah,
it's... Not that you're using the same thing for spices.
I don't know, from the Gemara, I mean, it sounds like in the Gemara that we're using the same thing. Anyway, let's see the Gemara. Meducha ketana shel besamim am rav sheshes im yesh aleha eid mutter. So if there's testimony on it, so then it would be mutter. Meaning, if it's been used before, and there's evidence that's been used before, so then you're allowed to reuse it on Shabbos. Okay, now, meisvei. Now, there are 10 things which we're going to identify which are not good and lead to tachtonias. You want to describe it as hemorrhoids. I'm not sure if that's the right diagnosis. Whatever the case is, here's what we know. It's bad. Okay, 10 things which a person should not do because it leads to some sort of colon pathology. So eating... Now, ale gefanim, by the way, I know the Sfarnim love that. That's, you know, grape leaves. I'll accept it. So, ale kanim, ale gefanim, lulavi gefanim, moriga behema. Moriga behema, Rashi describes as the meat of an animal that's not a tender meat. Rashi describes, I know this is going to offend the Ashkenazim here in the room, tongue. Rashi says tongue is not good for the digestive tract because it has a lot of indentations in it, a lot of grooves in it. Rashi says also the base akosos is not good, one of the stomachs of the animal. Anyway, below melach, without salting it, shejer shel dag, spine of a fish, which, quite honestly, I don't even know who's going to eat that. Dag melech, shalabisha kol tzarcho, this is already number 6. I took the time numbering them. Dag melech, shalabisha kol tzarcho, salted fish that's not fully cooked. Hashose shamayayin. Drinking wine sediment. Hamekanech b'sidav acharasus ubitzror shikinech bo kachavero. And 8, 9, and 10. What will lead to a bad colon or just tachtonios is if you wipe yourself using sid, which is lime, charasus, which is or some sort of earthenware, and a stone that was used by your friend. Okay, so, but again, the point now is as follows. We described just a moment ago that you can use a meducha ketana if there's evidence that it was used before. But here now we're saying that from a Shabbat standpoint, that may be fine. From a health standpoint, that is not fine. And by the way, some say that also if you don't sit down when you go to the bathroom, but you kind of squat, that's not good. In other words, you need to sit down. Okay, but anyway, lokasha habalacha b'yavish. So the Gemara gives now a number of answers to this dilemma of, can I use a stone that was used by somebody else? So the first answer of the Gemara is halacha b'yavish. So it depends. If it's moist and fresh and just been used by somebody else, don't do it. If it's dried, so then it's okay. Answer number two of the Gemara is, to use the same side that was used by your friend, well, the Gemara says no to that, but if you're using a different side, that would be fine. To reuse your own stone, that's fine. To reuse your friend's stone, that's not fine. Okay, I also marvel at the amount of attention that the Gemara spends on this topic, and we're not done. Amar le Abai le Rav Yosef yadu ala gishamim v'nishtashtashu mahu. Well, let me ask you this question. Let's say the stone got rained on, and now there's no longer any evidence that there is that was used by your friend. What would be the halacha? Amar le im hayavishum amnika mutar. Well, if there's still some sort of markings that it was used by somebody else, so then it would be mutter. By mine Rava Barav Shila Meirav, the following question was posed. I'm sorry, Meirav Chista, Mahu Lahalosam Acharav Legag. Can I bring the stones up to the top of the roof? Okay? So where did you go to the bathroom? So typically where you went is you went outside, where the stones are right nearby. But now the Gemara wants to know, what about the rooftop in the good old days? So they would ascend to the rooftop and go on the rooftop. And the Gemara now, the question basically is, meaning maybe this is Tircha Yaseira. Right? We're going to see this a number of times throughout our Masechta, especially as we get towards the end of the Masechta. The Chachamim didn't want you on Shabbos, even though you're not violating any Malacha per se. But in other words, Shabbos is a day of rest. And the Chachamim wanted us to rest. So at times the Chachamim basically said to us, look, technically there's nothing wrong with what you're doing, but it's too much tircha, too much trouble, too much strain. And so I wonder, says the Gemara, going on the rooftop and bringing the stones all the way up to the top of the rooftop, maybe that's tircha yaseira. So Amalei Gadol Kavod Abriya Shadochas Lo Sase Shabbatorah. So the answer is, yes, you're allowed to. Meaning this is now an issue of Kavod Abrios, this is human dignity, proper personal hygiene after having gone to the bathroom. And so we don't take any of these considerations. Not a Muktzah consideration, not a Tircha consideration. And so if it means that you're allowed to go up to the top of the roof and go on the top of the roof, that you're allowed to do. Now it's interesting because the Gemara just quotes the statement of Gadol Kavod Abrios, Shedoches Lo Sase Shabbatorah, it overrides even a negative prohibition in the Torah. What negative prohibition is it talking about? All negative prohibitions? So you take a look at Rashi over here, and Rashi says, no, not all. D'chsiv v'his alamta. Parshas Kiseitse. It talks of the Torah there is talking about the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. You find a lost item. Now, in the context, the Torah says that you see somebody's item running around in the street, let's say his animal, so don't cover your eyes. Meaning you say to yourself, it's human nature. What am I going to do? I'm going to go take the animal, I'm going to grab the animal, and then what, I have to take care of the animal until I find the owner? You know what? I don't see the lost item. The Torah goes out of its way to say, don't do that. In other words, you see somebody's lost item, you go get it, you take care of it, it's a tircha, but do it anyway. However, the Torah says, v'his alamta. Now, out of context, it could be understood that sometimes there's a legitimacy to covering your eyes from the item. So the Gemara's in Brachos, the Gemara's also in Bab Metzia, Gemara's a number of places, where the Gemara says that if you're a Zakein, ve'eino lefi kvodo, if you're an elderly person or a Talmid Chacham, however you want to understand it, and it's beneath you, it's not within your kavod, to go and to pick an animal up or to take care of an animal, so then it's not human dignity. So then you can cover your eyes from that item. So you see the Kavod Abrios is Docha, a Losase Shabbatorah. Now that's Mamonos. Now we're not talking about Mamonos over here. We're talking about the Isra of Muktzah, but essentially, same basic idea. At least so says Rashi. Rashi says it basically falls under the same category. hard to understand how they're categorically the same, but anyway, so, but you're allowed to be docha the lav of Isalamta, you're allowed to be docha the Isser of Muksa, which is Nisr Durabanan, for the purposes of Kavod Habrius. Continuing in the Gemara. Let's do a little bit more. Yasim Remer Vakamala Ashmaita Isve Ravilam Remer of Lazar Omenota Adam Kisa Mishlafanov Lechatus Boshinav Vechachamamrim Lo Yitel Ela Min HaAvashal Behema. So the Gemara talks now about taking a toothpick on Shabbos in order to take the teeth away from your mouth. And in terms of removing, in terms of taking a toothpick, it has to be a toothpick that was prepared before Shabbos. Okay? Meaning you can't just simply pick up a toothpick. And what bothers the Gemara is, that's also covered abrius. Imagine walking around on Shabbos with something stuck between your teeth. You're an eyesore. So it's covered abrius issue. So shouldn't you be able to take a toothpick basically from anywhere? Meaning much like the Gemara, you're allowed to take a stone basically from anywhere? So why is there more of a muksa consideration when it comes to toothpicks than it is for stones and personal hygiene? The Gemara says, let's not compare. Because when it comes to a meal, meal times, you know where you're going to eat. In other words, it's a fair expectation that you should set aside toothpicks before Shabbos. It's a fair expectation. But going to the bathroom, I mean, nature calls and you don't know when nature is going to call. So in other words, you don't have such a fixed location for your bathroom. So therefore, the Chachamim were much more lenient in terms of the Isser of Muksa when it comes to the bathroom. Okay, but still, even within the Tchum, still, it wasn't absolutely known where you're going to go. Okay, good. So so basically, that there's more to go, but we'll pause over here. Okay.
So you could keep your mouth shut also.
Yeah, yeah. For the remainder of Shabbos. Okay, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up. We have a little bit more to go. God willing, tomorrow morning we'll finish the 8th parak of Shabbos. Leads us into the 9th parak of Shabbos. 9th parak of Shabbos, very interesting parak. Goes off, we're going to go off on a tangent for the 9th parak of Shabbos. We're going to leave the world of Shabbos for a little bit. But the 10th parak, we come back to Hilchos Shabbos.